The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Initiate Titanfall. Boom.
Oh.
I'm here now. Get inside of me. Get inside of me to live.
Please climb inside. Pilot me.
Pilot me, Adam. Pilot your boy. I'm your boy, BT. Pilot me.
Pilot your boy, MS.
Hey, it's one-upsmanship.
Yeah, it is. We're back. We are
I
back.
I wonder what game this one will be about.
Who could say?
Who could tighten say? It? Who can fathom the fall?
Let the titans fall where they may.
Wait, you said we're back.
Yeah.
Did you always say we're back?
No, just we're back from the last time we were here.
Okay.
Still doing it.
There was no special absence or anything.
No. I mean, other than the absence they no doubt felt in their hearts since last they encountered
that's
us.
That's true.
You know?
I would say we've always been here. I think of us as even when they're not listening to us, we just sit in the corner of their room or car.
Watching them game. Mm-hmm. Look at them. That's a good turn.
Look at them. They're good.
Pick up
they're
that
good
item.
Little listeners.
Pick it up.
But yes, we are discussing Titanfall 2.
Yes, we are.
And first thing I want to bring out before we even get into our normal segments, this game, well, I mean, Respawn is doing quite well primarily because of Apex Legends.
Right,
but
right.
This game, it's like, it's weird. It was middle of the road. It didn't tank. It didn't bomb. I want to ask why we're covering Titanfall 2. I actually think if you read down the list of games we cover, it kind of raises the question. Why
this
Titanfall 2?
Oh, really? I'll tell you.
Yeah. Or do you think it goes without saying why we would cover it? I don't think people think of it as a seminal shooter.
No, it should be. Maybe that's why we're covering it, is because I feel like it should be.
I think that's what we're getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't deserve it in terms of being as big a touchstone as like Call of Duty or Battlefield even, but I would argue it should be that.
Well, it had, and as far as just sales go, it had a lot of, I remember it had strong buzz upon release and people really enjoyed it and it was well reviewed, but then the community fell off pretty quickly.
It's a property I feel like everybody's rooting for. Like, this is a game that I feel like everybody who's played it is like, man, I really wish they'd keep doing that. I wish they'd make the one that really breaks through and takes over a big lion's share of the market. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do that. I'm not sure.
All right, great.
Yeah.
So how do you save in Titanfall? I mean, I just die. Usually I save by getting killed.
It's usually just
and
by
it autosaves.
You've turned enough people into a fine red mist and you just move into the next segment, right?
Yeah. Let's hop onto a conveyor belt of prefab housing units.
Oh, yeah.
And autosave our way into our first segment, which is the speed run. Do you remember who did? last? Who did most recent speedrun?
I believe it's your turn. I believe it's your turn.
Mm.
I know. Mm. This is a tough one to do it on. I know.
It's a little tough, but I'll start when you do what you do.
Of course.
Well.
Of course. And time. Now.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if time was saying I'm wasting time already. Private last class Jack Cooper graduates from generic hero name school and enlists in Space Force. Go Space Force. Trump number one. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
And he in the future there's fighting. There's your guys who are good. You're called the militia, and there's the IMC. I forget what it stands for, but they're also humans and they have their reasons for doing the things they do. And hey, maybe if you were raised in their circumstances, you'd feel the other way. But regardless, you all try to kill each other in space, and we root for us because that's what you do. And Private Jack Cooper is training to be a pilot. Pilots pilot mechs, which are not Voltron-sized mechs or Godzilla-sized mechs, but I would say like, five times the size of a human-sized mechs, maybe.
Yeah, three-story building size, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we accept the thing that we always accept in stories like this that makes no sense, which is that instead of satellite lasers and chemical weapons and radiation technology, the pinnacle way to fight is in a giant robot shaped like a human with guns on it.
Yep.
So these are feared. Everyone fears these things. And the people who pilot them are also feared because you have to train. It's like the Navy SEALs, if SEALs floated in space. And you are one. But you get a heck of a promotion when you, the guy who was like your mentor, is killed in battle suddenly before your eyes. His mech BT imprints upon you. So you're the one who's now freed to neurally link with him. And he's basically like, you have to continue the mission that the dead guy had. The mission turns out to be a mission that will turn the tide of the war. And
obviously,
you do it.
Right.
You do the mission.
Yeah, that's
Stop
right.
Time.
You did good.
Now.
You did good.
Thank you.
I thought that was a great speed run.
Vague, but good.
No, but it wasn't vague at all. You gave exactly okay. the story. I just, my only supplemental piece of information I say is it's a first-person shooter that Ooh. That is somewhere,
Rookie mistake.
Somewhere between Call of Duty and Destiny, right? It's sort of like an in-between property.
Yes, and I glossed over the most important you probably intuited it from the nature of the story, but I think it's important to highlight that the key mechanic is that sometimes you can't be in BT and you fight in a mostly traditional FPS like Call of Duty. And then when BT or any Titan in multiplayer is summoned and you climb into it, you still have FPS controls, but the perspective is different,
right.
And your rhythm is different, and now you're a giant mech. But you're still looking out the front face of the mech like it's a first-person dealie.
Yeah, I mean, and they go to great pains to explain and exposit exactly how the rules work in this game, which is really interesting because the last one, the first Titanfall, if you remember, I mean, I don't want to waste all my rant on this, but so
is
maybe
this a rant?
I'm getting there. Yeah, I was about to get into it.
All right, let's.
So I've murdered the prerequisite number of bots
and
maybe a couple human players.
I wanted to start talking about stuff that's better suited for Game On.
Yeah.
So, hey, let's get off on a rant here.
Yeah.
Player two, Adam Ganser,
that's
ranting
me.
At you.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, I really like this game. I think it's very good. I think it's very charming. I think it's trying to be what I might call a best of both worlds of a sci-fi shooter and a military-esque Call of Duty. And I do think it's more fun than most Calls of Duty. I think it's a little less fun to me personally than Destiny in a multiplayer conglomerate sense. I don't know if it's less fun in the everyday, just moment-to-moment sense, because it's really well designed and the controls are very responsive and fun. Piloting a Titan is fun. Piloting a pilot is fun. They both have their certain sets of limitations and encourage two different styles of play. And you know, because of all the varieties of different kinds of Titans and stuff, they encourage quite a few different varieties of play as a Titan. But I think no matter how complicated and fun this loop is, they haven't yet figured out how to make it like seminal, how to make it the memorable version that occupies a permanent space in the consumer's mind every couple years, which they need to do for it to continue happening. I thought the plot... So most people praise the campaign in this game. They were like, this game has an incredible campaign and like it's super fun. I thought the campaign was whatever. It's fun to play through, but I thought the story narratively is very whatever. It's very hard to care or get connected to any of the factions. And the fact that your Titan is sentient creates a whole lot of problems for me narratively that I did not have in the first Titanfall. And I definitely have them now. Specifically that, like, when you're playing the multiplayer, you're just burning through Titans left and right to get to a kill count. And it's like, so like all these beings have to die? Like you're just summoning a being that has to die every time you're playing multiplayer? I don't know about that, man. Anyway, so all I want to say is, as a property, I think this is really fun. I think there is room for it to be, have its own sort of space in our first-person shooter-drenched economy. I don't know that it's going to break through when things like Fortnite and Apex Legends also occupy some of that space now. So it may not end up working out because it's several years old now, and that concerns me. And also, I think it might have the problem that VR has, which is that it's sort of like, because it's an in-between experience but not a fully new experience, it isn't a thing that people are going to rally behind. It's only going to have a niche audience. And that would be my argument against most VR stuff at this point, which is it's not quite a fully immersive experience, and therefore it's not, you know, kicking ass like it should. And I think that's my rant for now.
Wow.
Wow.
Just
yeah,
wow.
Did you like that? I know. I can't wait to hear what you say.
I'll tell you why.
Oh, wow. Player one coming in real hot.
That's the privilege of doing the speed run. The speed run, it can be high pressure, but then because it alternates, you get to do the second rant. So your rant inevitably becomes just a takedown of the first rant.
Yes, it does. That's one of the geniuses of our podcast format.
I'm in the catbird seat, as they say. And I'm going to piss all over everything you said. First of all, I want to point out, so we'll go chronologically. The game sucks. Now, that's actually not where we part ways. I like the game.
Whoa.
But I want to point out to longtime listeners that you said you pilot the mech and you pilot the pilot. Besides the sloppy diction and redundancy.
All right.
I'm coming in hot, dude. This Titan's going to fall.
Settle down.
All right, I'll take it down a notch. But it harkened back to in our Hollow Knight episode recently when you said you pilot the bug. And I just think it's very telling if you're looking for the Siskel and Ebert of it all, like which of us, where we are on the spectrum. We occasionally point out like this is an insight and this is an insight. I always say play as,
right,
whatever
right.
the character is. And you usually say pilot you pilot Simon Belfort in Castlevania, Belmont, whatever. And I just think that's very telling because I mostly like games where they give you invitations to pretend you're really doing it and you don't give a shit about that.
I think you're right.
You're like, this is like an RC car. I'm piloting it. It's a game.
Right.
And that's
you
fair.
Fool.
Yeah. That wasn't the takedown part. That was just interesting.
No. That's funny.
And really nothing is a takedown. I was trying to fabricate some drama for the sake of the entertainment value. But I'm basically bouncing off of things you said rather than having my own points. They Respawn also created Apex. And I do think we will not get another Titanfall. I could be wrong. Stuff comes back. I don't like they bring back shit where you're like, there's no money in that. Why is that coming back? But I would be happy to see another Titanfall. I just think it's unlikely because to me, I see Titanfall, and this is why I wanted to cover it, two especially, because two feels like it built on one and did that thing games so often do where it crystallizes the ideas. especially by adding the single player campaign, which becomes more of a focused showcase for your ideas. Like, look, multiplayer, we were trying to make a lot of money with our multiplayer and get in as many people's veins as possible. But here's a showcase of our ideas in chronological order. Here's what we were getting at, is sort of what the single player campaign gives you. And I think those ideas were interesting enough that I'm of the opinion that we wouldn't have Destiny, or Destiny wouldn't be the way it was without them. Not that I don't know what the employee crossover is, but I more mean in the artistic dialectical sense. I think Destiny learned from Titanfall, or they were both going in the same artistic direction at the same time. But furthermore, the huge focus on traversal mechanics as being the way to freshen up what the FPS experience is, I think really reached its height, or gained like momentum, or somehow reached an apotheosis with the Titanfall team realizing that. And I think Titanfall, and this is what we'll talk about a lot more in Game On, so I'll just leave that there. I might be done with my rant, because that's like the table of contents of what I want to unpack.
Okay.
But I will just say that about BT, I think something that makes BT it work, like Jedi Fallen Order, is the robot sidekick is very likable. Everyone likes BT.
Yeah,
BT's more likable than the human characters, who are almost more robotic, or robotic in a sense. But my question is, I never thought about it in multiplayer, that do you think those Titans are sentient in the way that BT was?
I think they're all sentient, right? Isn't that what's implied? BT's not a magic Titan. Because
that's how you form a neural link?
Right. I assume then, that's what they were saying.
Okay,
mistake. Like, it's a huge mistake lore-wise. I understand why they did it. It's just a huge mistake lore-wise.
Okay, without breaking the flow, checkpoint. Dispense with acute analogies. Game on.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
So let's go from there and we'll meander. But
sure.
In multiplayer, the Titans say grab bag of catchphrases while you fight, right? And that's the extent of it.
I think they're mostly silent in multiplayer, which is why choosing to have your sort of ET version of BT is a weird choice. Because it sort of retrofits consciousness to all those Titans.
Although I guess what I was going to argue is that do you not retrofit consciousness to all the millions of human soldiers you gun down in any first person shooter? They're humans.
Yeah.
What a complex machine. Lo, behold, it breathes, it feels, it loves. Bang, bang.
Well, sure. I mean, this is not the first time that I've realized, you know, we're killing beings. They're real beings. Like, this is not the first time I've realized that. I just think that the premise of Titanfall, generally speaking, is you're trying to fight a war for resources. Most of the resources go into building Titans, right? That we did that whole escort mission. That
was
what we talked
about on escort mission. And that was your point, which is a good observation, is stop building thousands of mechs and you'll have more resources.
Right. It's like, this is an easy problem for me to solve. I just step in and turn off the Titan faucet. Right, exactly. But like, if they're also making them conscious, then it's like, so we're like creating beings for the purpose of creating those beings and then murdering them to acquire more of these beings. It's really crazy.
Playtime is fun time.
It's really crazy. I mean, I guess all war is that. It just makes it
war is madness,
so
my
baffling.
Friend. Yeah.
Sure, sure. But like, I feel like I left the campaign not understanding at all what anyone was fighting for other than the Ark super weapon, right? It's like the only thing anybody's fighting for.
And I tried to cheekily highlight that in my plot synopsis, but yes, that's what it boils down to. And I think you made a great point that it still strives to be military, even though it's sci-fi, it feels very military. You are supposed, the one thing you have to accept a priori is you are fighting to make the enemy lose because they're evil, I guess. You can't, like, if we delved into the political realities of what are the resource demands of the IMC, it all falls apart. You just 100%. Have to accept that we are the allies and they are the Axis and assume that you're right and it's a game, you know.
But everything else
tracks fine as long as you accept that I guess they're just bad guys. Yeah.
This narrative is somehow shallower than Destiny's. Like, Destiny also has a very shallow narrative of the darkness came and took our magic away and you got to fight it. It's like, okay, great. But, like, it bothers to be consistent. Like, it bothers that to be that way. And
this
game's like, fuck that.
And yet, the largest franchise of all time just put its final, like, grace note out with the same logic, which is, I don't know. You go here. Why do you go there? Because that's the item that tells you to go there. Well, what's there? The item that tells you where the final guy is. What do you do when you get there? Kill him. That's Rise of Skywalker, and it's fucking Titanfall 2. You just get the key to the map, and the map leads to the place, and you kill the guy at the place.
Right.
And you win the war.
But that's also... but that's like legit a criticism of Rise of Skywalker, is that it's... That's what it is.
Oh, Rise of Skywalker sucked ass, but this isn't the place for that.
Right, but like, first of all, I think Titanfall actually is a slightly better narrative than Rise of Skywalker, since you brought it up.
Well, they have the luxury of you're with BT constantly and the banter is genuinely good.
So you get
one realistically drawn, like, bonding experience. That feels great. It's fun. It feels good.
Well, and like every action movie, you're sort of... you know, it's ultimately you versus a bunch of monsters in this little house. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like the Die Hard thing, right? Where it's like these two are basically stuck on this planet and they have to figure out what's going on and they don't really have anybody helping them until later when they join other forces, and then the whole plot gets very convoluted. It's like, what the fuck is this now? I don't want to shit on the plot. It's just the only reason I keep bringing it up, though, is that, like, it was literally the only thing that people were talking about as far as, like, look how great this game is. The campaign plot is very good. And it's like,
and what they mean is the friendship with BT felt good. That's the only real element.
It did, but like, I'm also like, turn your like high school sophomore level analysis on, friends.
So let's not talk about that. Because I find myself impatient. I'm like, that's enough talking about the plot. That's not why we're covering it.
Funny.
Because we're interested in, to unpack the thing I said in my rant about the money, I think it's interesting that they pursue both gameplay mechanic ideas, but I also feel Respawn is clearly a business enterprise. And now that they have a place to showcase this dynamic, like these gameplay ideas through Apex Legends, that is making money hand over fist, I don't know why they would go back to Titanfall unless they introduce a Titanfall-like mechanic into Apex Legends or something. But I think that despite the fact that Respawn Entertainment is clearly out to make money and are making one of the more profitable devs in the game industry right now, they are presenting cool ideas that are legitimate, and Titanfall has a few I want to touch on, and I'm going to start with the one that we haven't talked about at length between ourselves off mic before, which is the vibrancy of the color palette and the saturation of everything is what made me think Destiny learned somewhat from it, because it broke away from the gritty or even the Transformers orange and blue color palette that pervaded FPS. I'm thinking like Metro, I'm thinking Killzone, I'm thinking Red Faction. Right. And
I didn't,
why isn't it just near future military? Because I would argue they actually had an interest in showcasing Harmony, you know, the planet where the rocks float and everything's really trippy and cool looking. And I think Destiny locations have that same, I'm not even arguing necessarily consciously inspired, but that impulse could be parallel. That's all. That direction. Outer Worlds is like that. I like that shooters are becoming colorful sci-fi again instead of drab sci-fi.
And I agree with that 100%. And by Destiny learning from this, you mean Destiny 2, right?
Yes, like, I do.
Okay, fair enough. So I actually found the color palette to be very limited in Titanfall for most of the game, but it did open up after you got to the level that you mentioned with the floating house parts. That's when the color palette started to open up. But before that, it was kind of orange and blue.
Remember the battle dome, and remember the conveyor belt of green grass, and like they found
that's
ways
the one
to
I'm talking
put
about.
Incongruous imagery into your world.
They
yeah.
did, and it made a big difference because it took it out of the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare spot and put it in more of a, like, there is a sort of wonder to the game. And like, there's been other games since that I feel like are trying to be inspired by this look, like Anthem, or some other games, and they aren't quite as successful because they're too cluttered.
I think Godfall or Greedfall is the next one that looks like it's taking the same swing.
Yeah, Titanfall is very finely balanced so that it has a little bit of flourish, but it doesn't feel like an anime per se. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like super cartoonish in any way. And it's militaristic, but it's not realistic in its militarism. And therefore, we feel free to be more than a Call of Duty soldier. But your color palette thing is totally legit. I want to talk about the movement, because I feel like that's the place where Titanfall really...
I knew when we got onto that tip, that would probably fill out the rest of the episode, so I was just intentionally delaying it. But now's a good time.
Okay.
Wanted to, because that's what we're talking about, is the, as we said, we were like in the email thread, do you want to talk Titanfall 2? And so I was like, hope you're ready to talk about the evolution of traversal in FPSs.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was.
That's right, because that's what makes this game worth talking about. So it's not like it has any particularly new things, at least not to my knowledge. It's just that it's a combination of things that made first-person shooting feel vertical in a way that it hadn't in a very long time, or maybe ever.
Some Quake Arena levels I remember being vertical as a novelty.
Sure.
They'd be like, look, some weirdo made a vertical level.
Right. And of course, I mean, you know, certainly Destiny had a little bit of, you know, fighting up or whatever, but like Titanfall felt very much like, no, you're always fighting on multiple levels. Like you can be running around on the ground, but you got to look to the skies all the time also. And that's a big change for first person shooters. A huge change.
As we talk about, another thing I think it has in kinship with Destiny is we always talk about the dialed in feeling of the actual interaction. There are lots of games that have done jump and hit the wall to run at an angle on the wall. Prince of Persia and Sands of Time comes to mind. And it's usually a pretty good mechanic. And it usually feels like your feet hook onto a rail on the wall and it runs a predetermined amount of time and then you arc down and that's all fine. In Titanfall, it's just the best that has ever been. That idea
definitely.
Of jumping and running on the wall. You subtly speed up if you run on the wall. So you actually, like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 style, find yourself getting good at yeah, I'm going to fucking see that guy way in the distance. I'm going to shoot this guy while I run in a circle around the chamber. And then I'm going to jump over there, shoot that guy, and run up the wall and shoot the guy at the top. That yep. is cool. It's just it's very fun cool. to do. Yeah.
It's very fun. And like in combination with that, it also is very heavy on sliding.
Sliding is actually useful for in it. Yeah.
It's not like a way to game the system. It's like built in as like a really heavily used feature as part of the combat, and it makes you feel like a super soldier. But
yeah,
not
there
like
were moments
a,
where I felt like I was playing Mirror's Edge, but I got to kill yes, as many people as correct. I wanted. Yeah,
yeah, that's really Mirror's Edge is actually a really great touchstone because it feels as fluid as that.
And Mirror's Edge made a whole game out of, did you know traversal could be this fluid? That's our whole right. game.
Right, yeah. That's what we're doing. Congratulations, you're going to experience that. Right, I feel like it took everything that I liked about Mirror's Edge and then put a fun gun in its hands yeah. and made, you know what I mean? And then made like a bunch of really crunchy enemies to just like knock down. And I think this is where the genius of the game comes in, is like, because it would feel sort of overpowered if they didn't have Titans. See, Titans in a way reduce you back to a quote unquote regular soldier, you know? So right. like in a way, like, so, you know, like I said, you feel like a super soldier, but then of course you're fighting against like gigantic mechs that can punch you to death with one punch, which is hilarious
one hit,
to do.
So you get in your Titan.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you're forced to do a different gameplay loop for a while.
Right. And it's really
it's
fun
organic.
To
yeah.
It's really fun to mow down like five or six other people. Just not because they're bad at the game, just cuz like don't pop your head out here, bro. I'm in a Titan.
Yeah.
I'm going to missile you.
It's weird too. These are odd comparisons, but they're compelling to me. It gave me the feeling that I got in Katamari Damacy that I found so delightful, which is when you finally change scale. And Katamari Damacy did a much more in-depth job because you change scale infinite times and blah, 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 and that's what it's all about. But it still gives you the same feeling where you're like, it's interesting that I used to be this size and those guys were a threat and these guys were an unstoppable threat. Now I'm bigger. And the guys that were like me, I kill in one hit, but these guys are now my peers and there's nothing above me. And when I switch back now, they're a danger. You're constantly, your brain gets to switch what is tagged as dangerous to you, how dangerous to you, how important to dash away from that, how soft of a target is that, what target to prioritize. Right. Every right. time you shift levels, those tags shift. And every FPS player knows what I'm talking about, where you're like, well, I want to kill the things in this room roughly in this order. Oh, BT smashed through the window. I jump inside. Okay, now I want to kill the things in the room in this order. And it's right. a fun shift. Yeah.
It's definitely like Titanfall encourages you to improv.
Yes.
It's built with a really solid, smart container and really strong levels so that you can kind of on the fly, like, all right, man, run on this wall. Oh, there's a guy. Okay, better jump and flip behind him and slide over to this guy. And then, like, maybe I'll have enough for a Titan then. You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah,
it does make you play chess, but it makes you play chess only a couple of moves ahead because it changes the landscape so dramatically every time a new Titan comes.
Yes. And I think that FPSs were stagnant for a long time in our recent past. They
Agreed.
Were basically all in the Call of Duty model. And I actually see that we're breaking out of that.
Yes.
It's awesome to see the ways different creators have found the way to refresh the idea of what an FPS can be. One of that's gotten a lot of acclaim is Superhot, which works where it's an FPS where time only moves when you're moving. So and every time you stand still, everything freezes. So you navigate the level by being an incredible, like John Wick style. Every turn you did was perfect because otherwise
you
would have been killed.
I haven't played that. I gotta check that out.
There's another one. There's a new multiplayer game that works on a tripartite time loop. So you play one 30-second round of deathmatch. Then you loop back in time and you can interact again. So like if you can kill your enemy at a point in time earlier than when they killed you the first time, now there's two of you alive. And then you do it again, and you constantly fuck with each other's time loops through repeated deathmatch. So my point is just, it's a good time again for FPSs. Yeah. I think they're on the upswing. And I know we've both been playing Doom Eternal, and Doom Eternal,
which is great,
a lot like Titanfall 2, where
yeah, it does.
What is, you're not, we're breaking out of the old paradigm of the logic is, pop out of cover, shoot, duck into cover till you heal, reload while you're ducked. That's kind of a good strategy. Now there's all kinds of different games that have different underlying FPS mechanics, and Doom reminds me a lot of Titanfall, where the way your brain is working is just constantly thinking right tool for the right job at this time, and you link together an improvisational series of, oh, I kill that demon with that because he's weak to it. Oh, that puts me in this position. I better dash here. Now I can punch this guy because it just recharged. And I think Titanfall 2 is a part of that lineage. And it's so early, it was kind of ahead of its time that it didn't get praised for the mechanical innovations, although they are getting praised for the same innovations now that they're in Apex Legends. But I just feel like it is seminal in the sense that it was there at the beginning of this new FPS renaissance.
I mean, it serves as a what you might call a transitional form, in that it's a pivot away from realism. You know, I feel like after Halo, first-person shooters just sort of drove invariably toward realism for a very long time, mostly because of Call of Duty and Battlefield. And then Titanfall represents like a, okay, but maybe realism as a springboard to something that's fun. Yeah, you know I mean, like
Gears of War is not strictly realistic, but it is gritty, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I right. Of course, I don't mean realism like it's just simulating reality. I mean realism like the thing that's fun to do is to simulate how war generally works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like cover based shooting, as you'd say, and like that was innovative for a little while because you know before that it was GoldenEye, which was ridiculous and also fun in its different ways. And also Halo, which was never realistic. And Titanfall represents a pivot to verticality and still like the sort of grindy, like really well-tuned shooting mechanics, but also, you know, verticality and lots of jumps and, you know, an oversized opponent sometimes. And is there anything more fun in any first-person shooter than like being the one who hops on a Titan and throws a grenade down its gullet? That's the most fun thing in the world, right? Like blowing up a Titan when you're a pilot, it's the best.
It feels like quite an account, especially in multiplayer where, you know, a real human was trying to not let you do that. And it's so hard to do. Yeah. It's like getting a goal in soccer or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's video games need to create those moments, you know, that's why everybody got so pumped on Destiny's raids when they first came out, is because you'd get those drops, right? Where it's like, oh shit, I got the Galahorn or whatever it is. And like, that's a huge moment in a game. And I think, oh shit, blowing up a Titan as a pilot is just like that. You know, it's very fun. So I do have some critiques. Are you ready for those? Okay, great. I don't think the guns are so bland and nameless and the same. Like the guns are, there's basically like, you know, three types of guns. There's the shotgun type, there's the machine gun of various types, and then there's like a rifle sniper. / sniper type. Yeah. And
I don't like any of the guns really, honestly.
No, they shoot well. Like they handle well. They're just
by
not.
They all get the job done or the game wouldn't be functional. But I mean, there's in FPSs, there's usually a gun that I'm like, oh, that's my favorite gun. I love when I find one of those. I don't care about any of these guns at all.
Yeah. I would argue that even Call of Duty's guns serve, like have a slightly more tuned and specificity to them.
Yeah, I have preferences between the various machine guns in Call of Duty, but I don't in Titanfall. Whatever's around is fine.
And again, the gold standard for that is Destiny still. Destiny has created, like, every gun has its own vibe. And even though there's categories, they still all have their own unique thing. And Titanfall is really low on that totem.
But wouldn't you... I would argue that they were taking a page out of Halo's book. Isn't that Halo's thing? Is don't worry about the guns. They're interchangeable. Who cares?
No. I think Halo has really distinct guns because they're all very different types.
They're distinct. Yeah, I guess I resent Halo for introducing the. I like the weapon wheel. I like to hold as many guns as I've encountered thus far. I don't understand the benefit of the two. Not just Doom. 95% of FPSs have the weapon wheel. Maybe 90.
Well, they don't. I don't think that's true, is it? I mean, like Call of Duty and.
Well, I would argue the number of FPSs where you can hold more than two guns at a time dwarfs the number where you're limited to two.
That's probably true. I actually like that limitation because it fits what Halo is. Like it narratively and functionally fits what Halo is. And I don't think it's necessary in Titanfall. I think I'm inclined to agree with you there that it's like, why is it only two weapons here?
How does it fit narratively, not to turn this into the Halo cast, but
I knew you were going to say that.
Why would Master Chief be like, I don't care what gun I carry? He's a super soldier. Wouldn't he be like, it's very important to me what I'm armed with at any given time?
I mean, of course he cares, but he can't carry 100 guns because he's one person.
He could carry four or five.
I mean, right. So like, if it's an argument like, why can't he carry a shotgun and a sniper rifle and a pistol? Okay, fine. You're like, sure. But like, it made sense when the concept was introduced in 2001, you know, and certainly Master Chief is ridiculous, but like, I like it still narratively. He's supposedly just one guy. And I like the idea that you have to improv and pick up weapons as you go.
Okay.
But not everybody does. And I do like Doom for being stupid and impossible and fun. Like Doom is awesome for that. You know what I mean? Like who gives a shit what reality is? You're fighting demons in hell. Let's go for it. You know, Doom Eternal is fantastic, by the way. That's a fantastic game. We should talk about that at some point.
But not now.
Not now. Agreed.
But that does bring me to a critique of Titanfall 2, which is...
Yeah.
Not true of Doom Eternal, but I was actually going to compare more to Destiny 2 because I think where the Bungie team really excelled and where they seem to have put most of their focus is the belief that the main way you interact with this universe is killing things that you're looking at.
Right.
So we should make the enemies, like, we have to lavish attention on the enemies. Their animations, the way they react to getting shot, their AI strategy, the way they disperse themselves needs to feel different, each enemy. Their silhouettes need to be different enough that you go in and you go, oh, those in the distance are Vex. I should pull out this weapon because they do this, and they act like this in this situation. Their enemies are so specific and different, and it makes the game renewable because your gameplay loop is made of different flavors.
Right.
Titanfall 2's enemies, pretty samey, I would argue. Yeah,
they're exactly the same.
There's a big difference between a foot soldier and a mech, a Titan.
Right.
But that's it. All the Titans, despite having different guns strapped to their hands, you basically engage with them in a similar way. And all the things on two legs, you engage in a similar way. Whether it's a robot or a human, it doesn't matter. They're all just gray, like, figurines that you destroy.
Yeah, they added a few wrinkles. Like, I think it's possible, if I remember correctly, to switch allegiances for the robots. I think that's possible.
Sure.
There's
the medium-sized mech you have to shoot in the belly.
Right.
Like, limited shit like that.
And they also have the wild fauna, right? Like, the wild creatures that you have to kill from time to time, which I found annoying more than, like, felt like, oh, what a cool enemy.
Oh, I always completely ignored them, and they just end up dying of their own accord. Like, I'm shooting at humans, and I go, oh, there's a hyena there. It wandered through my stream of bullets. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're wise then. You know, I like the Zen approach that
they took me out.
Local fauna.
Did they ever take you out?
Huh. I died a few times to fauna.
Fauna, I did not.
Yeah, I mean, most of the, although dying in Titanfall 2 is also sort of inconsequential, which is great. You know, because like, sure, you know, just pop me right back up.
Yeah.
I'll race down that pipe again and shoot that dude in the face. But I totally agree. The guns and the enemies are basically the same, which is like a huge problem in a first-person shooter. Every first-person shooter manages to find some variety. Even Call of Duty manages to find it by way of like scenarios and different weapon types, and you know what I mean, like
loadouts. Yeah,
and they don't. Yeah.
Like this
like,
guy
even though you're always
just
shooting.
Throws grenades, this guy just snipes, so it feels a little different at least. Yeah. This guy's got an RPG, what have you.
They seem to think, like, look, if we can create a satisfying enough game loop, it doesn't matter if you're killing the same guy over and over because it's fun to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have other critiques?
I think those are my main two. One nice thing about Titanfall is for the few months that I played it, I didn't stay with it, so that may say something, and I'm not sure why, is it doesn't get super sweaty, which is a thing I hate about multiplayer-based first-person shooters. Like they get, it just you get like these people who are just like they're a bunch of tryhards, and like you can't play the game and have any fun because the really awesome dude is here who's gonna murder everybody.
Oh, you're
to
saying
get his
the multiplayer environment didn't really escalate in that way?
It didn't become impossible to play the game.
I think that's because it didn't have as a critical mass of people interested in playing it. It went under the radar.
I just feel that it's nice to not be buried alive by people who are awesome at the game.
Sure.
And maybe if they made Titanfall 5, maybe by Titanfall 5 there'd be like, you know, Titan gods, and then it would be a terrible fucking
game. Well, that's what I'm saying
game,
is you're wishing for happened. The broader success, and I'm like, that's what happened. Go play Apex Legends. You'll get your fucking ass handed to you, dude. That's what happens.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately, right. There's too many goddamn people in the world, and when you make a game they all like, they get too good for me to play it because I have other things going on in my life.
I suspect, though, that like if the game remains mildly complicated, which Titanfall is, it's more complicated than a Call of Duty game.
Yes.
That it will weed out people who are basically just like sniper tryhards. I mean, I guess I hope that that's
people
true.
People are just like, pop up, click. This is what I do.
Right,
I've crunched
right.
so many
that's
hours.
Fucking
I'm
boring.
Good at it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that problem, it doesn't exist as much in Destiny as it exists even in Call of Duty, or it still exists, and they have like certain events mm-hmm. to cater to those kind of maniacs in Destiny.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Titanfall's plan was in the long term to keep the sweat out of the game experience, but they did a pretty good job for the first few months that I was playing it. I didn't step in to review for this game and jump into some multiplayer, and I probably should have. So I don't know if it became overrun with Titan Lords. Maybe it did. I hope not.
Hey, if you're a Titan Lord, let us know.
Yeah, if you're the sweatiest Titan, you know, drop a couple of cluster bombs in my inbox, yeah. I guess.
Remember them? Remember the Titans? I'm sorry.
get the
fuck out of here.
I love
well,
you.
From inference, I can tell that you played a fair amount of the multiplayer then. I barely dipped into the multiplayer.
I mean, I know that's not your jam. So did you play much of Titanfall 1? Did you ever play Titanfall 1?
For like an hour at your house, I think. That's it.
Okay. And that was probably to prep for the escort mission, I assume?
Yeah. Yes. The aforementioned escort mission where you wrote that one, right?
I did. Yeah, that was the Titan Economy one. That was one of my favorites, I think, that we did. In part because there was that extra behind-the-scenes stuff that I don't even know if we released that was just Greg playing Titanfall. When Greg, like, lost his mind, were you there for that? When he was, like, playing Titanfall, he just could not believe it. Like, what the fuck's this?
I thought
it
was that was
so
Doom
good.
2016. It wasn't?
No.
Okay, it was Titanfall
no,
2?
It
or
was
1?
Not. Yes. It was Titanfall 1. He just like couldn't believe Titanfall
That's
1.
That's awesome.
And it is kind of a joyful game in a way.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
like
the freedom of traversal. That's what it's all about.
Right. Right. So and I guess that's what it is. I guess that's really the bottom line with Titanfall, is that in general it's like, look, we're going to be very good at movement. And our whole thing is built around that, and so in a sense they are kind of an ill-fated property because they gave great ideas that then got adopted and now we've moved on from it. So maybe it'll be like Dead Space where it's like it existed for a few versions and that was it.
But you need all the parts. Like, I think it's important that it was a well-made game also because what's the Just Cause? It's third person, but it's an over-the-shoulder shooter that is notable because it's all about wacky traversal. Like you come in a hang glider and then you grapple hook around shooting people, but it's clunkily put together and doesn't like work right. I think it's important that they also execute it at a high level. Like it's a really well put together game. And that's why they, I think, are surging in the marketplace. But I do think you're right that traversal, it was revolutionary at the time just to think, how can we refresh in the FPS genre? But traversal is such a basic, like no one can claim rights to video game traversal.
Exactly.
That it can easily be lifted and borrowed. Whereas something like Super Hot, which I described, you couldn't copy that without people going, that's Super Hot. So it's, it was destined to be just sort of mulched up and woven into the grammar of FPSs going forward, which is why we thought it was important to cover and put a special spotlight on it.
Because
it probably won't get the credit it deserves for the things it has done for the genre.
If it had created a more memorable world or protagonist, there's a chance there to have been a Titanfall would be a permanent franchise.
Jesus Christ, right? Jack Cooper. Like it's as basic as it can be. Yeah.
Right. Even his lines, even when you have to select like what line he says and then he says it, you're like, ugh. I'm just like, this guy is fine.
Oh, and they're all fine. They move the plot forward the same amount and they are just different riffs of the same stupid quip. Like BT's dialogue's pretty decent, but with Jack, it'll be choosing between like, I think we better get out of here, or she looks angry, we better go. And you're like, who gives a shit? Say whatever, dude.
You sure about that, BT, or I trust you, BT? Either way, he's going to say the same fucking thing. Right. Right. And he has no, like, he's not Master Chief. He's not even, like, an anonymous protagonist.
He's not a legendary.
Right, definitely.
No, yeah.
No. But if he had been, or again, if the Titanfall world was, like, mildly more compelling, I could see there being
there aren't even aliens. I mean, you only fight humans and robots. That's interesting.
That'd be an very interesting wrinkle for Titanfall if they were like, here, you know, version 3
aliens,
and it's totally different. Like, oh fuck, okay. But I've said what I feel like I needed to say about this. Did you have more you wanted to say, or should we pass the final checkpoint?
I thought I had one more thing. It was about the escort mission.
The Titanfall economy.
Well, no, you covered the points from that escort mission, but I was just I guess I'm just remembering. Wasn't it Evolution that he? Anyway, this is boring.
No, it was. I hate
I'm
this.
Bored.
I'm bored of me. No, it was definitely Titanfall.
Okay.
But Evolution's another one that was very overwhelming. Yeah. And around the same time. And I think it was Evolve is actually the name of that game. Anyway, who cares? That one's in the dustbin of history.
Yep, but we're fighting tall about Titanfall. And let's pass a final checkpoint.
You really did get me with that one.
Peck joint? No, that's nothing. See, it seems like I'm clever, but really all I am is obsessed with switching the first two letters of every pair of words I ever hear. And some of them happen to be puns just by chance.
You're so excellent at it.
Then I say them out loud.
It is a little weird, right? That like the other faction you're fighting against is basically a Mad Max outfit, but with Titans, like that are clearly expensive.
I don't understand.
Like, how the fuck are they getting those Titans?
How in the world they presented there's functioning bands of mercenaries and bounty
that
hunters?
Makes no sense.
The world doesn't seem to allow for that. How would they exist? Yeah.
If the Titan is a cognitive being that is programmed to only allow certain people with permission to pilot it, how in God's name is there a Mad Max band of
Titan
random
pirates?
Bandits? How is that possible?
Yeah, it's true.
Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, sorry, Titanfall.
That's fine.
Keep or delete.
That's
we are.
The name of the thing.
We're at the precipice.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You, sir.
Oh.
Do you mind answering
first? I actually remember the whole time I was stalling, all I was going to say is I do wish there was a grappling hook. That's all.
Oh.
I think as the pilot, if you could have grappled directly across a space to a flat surface across from you and zipped to the opposite wall, that would have been beneficial.
That feels like it fits in this world, too.
Now we're done.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Stop the presses.
Keep or delete, sir.
Oh, I'll delete it, certainly.
Oh, deleting it. Not even with its traversal and its high, its elevated spirit.
Well,
no good. Huh?
We talked about. I think it ranked the honor. Honestly, frankly, the like unfathomable privilege of having us even shine our light of insight upon it. And that's
the ego of this. I really like that.
That's the award, is that everyone was like, I love.
We cared.
Everyone's like, I love the plot. And we're like, we're going to give you 45 solid minutes, if you don't count tangents, talking about the mechanics. You're welcome. But, delete.
My friend, you are... You are a marauding goblin in a titan
right now. The enemies aren't distinct enough. It didn't become transcendent. Yeah. What we're choosing to highlight is a very, very important element, but it's not like a game where every element hit for me.
See, now I'm curious if you'd ever keep a game like Fortnite. But we'll get to that some other time, I imagine. I'm going to delete it too, but I have to tell you, I really thought about keeping it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to delete it because ultimately I didn't stick around with the multiplayer, and I think that matters. And I have played it through twice in the campaign, and the second time I wasn't even paying attention to it.
Sure.
And not because I didn't want to, because it was, it felt a little dated, honestly. Right. So it can't be that great a game if in like 4 years or whatever, it's gotten dated already. Sorry, Titanfall 2.
Yep.
We do love you.
Great game.
We do love you.
Did you happen to have that spreadsheet of all our keeps and deletes? Are we supposed to do that?
It's been sent to me, but I don't have it for right this moment because I forgot to bring it up.
So are we going
to
make Dave sit through it next episode?
I mean, Dave's done a lot to me, so yeah, okay. I don't mind making him
all
pay.
Right. Well, we should do
not
that,
because
it's got to be off my plate. I can't stay up all night thinking about this spreadsheet, this fan.
Is it haunting you?
There's a small beans fan out there languishing with lack of closure. It has to...
Yeah. Well, we did get it. I want to be clear.
Well, we'll bring that up next episode.
Yeah. Yes.
Farewell,
friends. I hope that the Titan of Fortune falls into your life very soon.
If it has already, consider spending some of that fortune over at patreon.com/smallbeans. Your support helps us, whatever this just was.
Helps us furiously game shine our spotlight of insight. I don't know.
Also helps us make great video series and sketches and
for sure. And continue to live. Yeah, mostly this. Yeah. And if you are in a place right now where you're a little cash strapped, but you'd still love to support the beans in some other way, you can do that by giving us a review on iTunes. It does expose new listeners to our podcasts, and we would greatly appreciate that.
That's no longer true. Actually, they updated it. We only take cash now. Just send us cash. And I don't mean on Patreon.
Yes. No, just send me cash. You'll
my
figure
mail
it out
slot
if you really want.
Open.
Yeah, if you love me enough, you'll figure out how to get me cash. You'll figure it out.
Hey,
see you next time.
Yeah, to support Small Beans, find us in real life. That's what we want. Seriously though, give us some money. And bye.
Bye.
Work complete.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.